up. You guys are just.
Okay, sure, okay. Good morning. There's our pastor, so now I can start. Welcome to Harbor of Joy and to all worshipers in present, if you're physically present, and online. Thank you. We welcome Dan Winkowitz, and we thank you for answering our call to serve in Pastor Tim's absence. The order of service is a bit different today. It's not screwed up. But we did this to accommodate Dan's needs. He has to be in Estherville at 10:30. So we're going to accommodate that. Also, I want to tell you that Tim and Sharon both are on their way home now. They left North Dakota just a few minutes ago. So I'm Cheryl Hesenius, so let's begin. Let's proclaim together, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Our call to worship is from Deuteronomy 31 and Lamentations 3. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Tasted and
of the sweetest of loves, for my heart becomes free, and my shame is undone.
In your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come forth this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Your presence.
The glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come fill. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence,
Well, good morning. Every preacher dreams of writing and preaching the perfect sermon. Today's not that day. I have been working on some a sermon, and so this is what it is. I am very pleased to be here, very happy to be with you. Some of you know me well and some of you don't, but I really enjoy being here when I can be. And I'm very happy to give a hand to Tim, who is just a fine man, and I appreciate so much in his ministry. Let's have a word of prayer for me and for you. Father God, I thank you that your word is true and that you gave it to us so that we could understand it, that we could live it, that we could teach it. And Lord, help me today to teach it well. And help those who listen to learn something from this that can make one change in their life. Maybe there'll be one thing said today, Lord, that will not be forgotten. And I ask for your blessing on it, and all honor and glory is yours. And we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Scripture that I'm going to be preaching from this morning is one that you all know well, or most of you do, and I'm going to read it. It is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's such a well-known psalm that you can read through it quickly and not think about it. But today I hope we can think about it a little bit and apply it to our lives. Why are you here in this church or on this planet? Why did God put you here? We have many questions that about which we want to know why. I want to know, when I think of my adult children, I want to know why they do what they did, because they certainly didn't learn that at my house. And on the harder side, I look at my Sophie, who's now 14, and say, why did God choose to make her the way she is? Oh, what I would give to hear her say, Dad, just once. And to know, what is she thinking? Why? But the big why is, why am I here and what am I here for? And so today out of Psalm 23, I want to try to answer three questions. Who, what, and why? Now, whether or not that's possible, we're about to find out. The psalm opens with the beautiful words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, you could choose to go with any one of those words and preach a sermon, I think. You could start with the word "the." That's singular. There are not two Lords. There is one. There is one God. It's just "the." The Hindus have a million gods. The Egyptians had 300 gods. Others have many gods. There is only one true, all-powerful God, and he is our God, the. And the next word is Lord. The Lord. Now, the Lord is a word in the Hebrew, which literally, if we were to translate it, would be Yahweh. Now, we don't get used to using that term. We recognize it, but long ago, the translator decided to use Lord, often in all capital letters. But listen to Psalm 23, the opening line out of a more literal translation. I'm going to give you the opening line and the ending line. Yahweh is my shepherd. And the final line, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. We could look at the word "is." It is. It's not past tense, it's present tense, and it's always going to be present tense. Somebody said it always was, is, and always will be, is. We could look at the word "my." It's possessive, it's yours, mine. I sometimes hear my wife talking to her sisters. There are three of them. They get to messing with each other, and they refer to my mom and my dad. It's kind of funny, isn't it? But in this case, it's true. Every one of us here can say that's my Lord. The Lord is my. And the final word is shepherd, of course. A shepherd, the one who takes care of sheep, and we're going to look at those a little bit. But we're going to start out by looking at the word Lord. We're going to focus on two words, Lord and shepherd. Lord, as I told you, is the word Yahweh, and it was so holy to the Jewish people, they pronounced it once a year. They just would spell it with the words YW. They didn't pronounce it. It's the promise-keeping one, the self-existent one, the great I am, the creator of the world, the ruler of the universe. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you get to the New Testament, while in the Old Testament, the word Yahweh is used over and over and over, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, it's never used in the New Testament. Because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Yahweh. And so in the New Testament, we say Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. Lord. So it's not anybody who's your shepherd, or it is the Lord, all-powerful one of the universe. Now we get to the word shepherd, and three times in the New Testament, Jesus is described as the shepherd. In John 10:11, he's the good shepherd. It says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." In Hebrews 13:20 and 21, it says, "He's the now many Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, and the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. But in 1 Peter 5, it also says he is the chief shepherd. And in verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Jesus is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. But most importantly, my friends, he's my shepherd. And I hope he's yours. Well, interestingly enough, in the Bible, God has compound names. Now, my dad, he had a compound name for me. In fact, he had several. I will tell you two of them. When I was doing something he really liked, he would say, Danny boy, and it was a good day. We were having a good time. Whatever I had done was good, or whatever we were gonna do, it was good, and it probably wasn't too painful. And then there were other times when he would say something like, Daniel Paul. That was also a compound name, but it did not indicate that good things were to come. God also has compound names throughout Scripture, and they tell us about his character. Interestingly enough, in Psalm 23, 7 of these compound names appear in these Scripture verses. Are you ready for this? Okay. We find the word Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, or as the text says, the Lord is my shepherd. We find the name Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, or as the text says, I shall not want. We find the name Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, and then the text says, he restores my soul. We find the name Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. We find the name Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And yes, there in the text, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We find the name Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And finally, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord ever present. I will fear no evil. That's not past tense, folks. That's regular tense. I've told friends of mine, I have friends who are both conservative and I have friends who are liberal. And I write to both of them, conservative friends, when Biden was elected president, were terrified that the end of the world had come. I was happy to assure them that I'd talked to God and he said it would not be tomorrow. I have liberal friends who feel that the end of the United States has come because Donald Trump was elected president of the United States. And I have informed them that I've talked to God and he told me, not today. We get all wrapped up in politics, but underneath our politics, way down in the foundational level, folks, we have to have our feet on the Word of God and our eyes fixed on Jesus. It's not about politics, it is about God, and it is the all-powerful God, the God who says, I'm your healer, I'm your provider, I'm your savior, I'm your banner. That God is your shepherd, and you, my friends, we'll talk about this in a minute, are his sheep. He's a jealous God, and that's a good thing because he doesn't let people steal his sheep. You have no reason to fear today, and you have no reason to fear tomorrow because, well, I'll let the cat out of the bag. The end of the verse here says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And if David could get into heaven because of his faith in God, who was a murderer and an adulterer and a liar, I can get in too. And as a good friend of mine or a professor of mine used to say, and folks, that's so good it ought to rot your socks off. What about the sheep? In verses 2 and 3, of course, he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Well, let's talk about the sheep. God calls us sheep. That is not a compliment. If anyone has ever raised sheep, I haven't raised them, but I've been around them. They're dumb. They're defenseless. They're mean. Kind of like believers. You know, I'm sorry. I preach in a lot of churches. Never been to one yet where everybody loves one another. You can sing the songs, but try to act it out, live it out. It's tough. But because sheep are that way, sheep need things. They need protection. Well, Jesus had compassion on the sheep. It says in Matthew 9, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. In Isaiah 40, it said it says he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. And in John 10, he says he'll defend the sheep. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So be happy to be a sheep. I'm sorry if you're offended that you're dumb. I'm sorry if you're offended that you do dumb things, because we do. And if you didn't today, wait till tomorrow. I had a guy show up at work, and I love him, and I'm not going to name him, and if he hears this, he'll forgive me. And he didn't show up, he called me. He said, "Dan, can you come?" "Yeah, what's going on?" "I got a flat tire." Well, I said, "Don't want to change your tire?" And, "Well, yeah, but I don't have my jack in my truck, and I don't have a lug wrench." And I said, "Oh, okay." And said, "Can you come?" So, "Yep, I'll go." And so we got there, and I took a jack and a lug wrench, and his tire was frozen in the back of his truck, because couldn't do that either. And he was just, and I said, "Now hold on here." Said, "I'm sure you have already recriminated yourself from here to China. It isn't going to fix anything. We will fix this. Tomorrow will be another day. And this will be a great story for your grandkids." Jesus is the door. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I am the door of the sheep." And that's important, because when all the sheep go into the fold at night, there's a doorway. There's no, Jesus is the door. He sits down in the door. Nobody's going through that door to get his sheep. You're inside. The bad ones are outside. Be happy. Be happy. Sheep also need peace. They are nervous Nellies, and the only time you're going to find sheep find peace is with the shepherd. We all need to slow down, turn off our cell phones, turn off the news, turn on some music, and relax. In Isaiah, it says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust you shall be your strength, but you are unwilling." Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, what's implied there? And you are not. If my wife were here, she would say, "Amen," and she would smile at me. Do you know that sheep only chew their cud when they're lying down? And I think that's the only time you can actually think about God and think about yourself and apply his word to your life. Quiet down, turn the TV off, turn the radio off, turn everything off, go for a long walk and pray. Well, that's the who. The Lord, Jesus is the shepherd. And you are the sheep. That's the who. What's the what? Well, the following verses go on to the what. And they go back and forth between two concepts. Life, death, life, death. And I think really that's the way we ought to live our lives. What happens when we never think about death? Well, we turn into knuckleheads. We get ourselves involved in all kinds of rotten stuff because we'll say, "Well, I'll clean it up tomorrow." Well, I want to tell you, many people have died with a storage shed and they never got to tomorrow. And somebody goes in there and cleans all that stuff up and throws it away. But when we think about the fact that someday our life is coming to an end and I will stand before God, that helps us to adjust what we're doing. I don't know about you, but when I have a doctor's appointment in 30 days, I go on a diet. I mean, because that guy is so mean, he makes me get onto a scale. And I said the other day, I said, "I suppose you're going to call me fatso again." And he looked at me and he said, "I have never called you that in my life." And I said, "Yeah, but you thought it." We think about life, we think about death. And that's what these verses talk about. The next verses, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, that's good because we really have three kinds of sheep. If you look at people and sheep, you got stubborn sheep, straying sheep, stick sheep, you know, and they wander off. Well, that's good because God has three kinds of restoration for sheep. He has a rod for the stubborn sheep. Some of us are so stubborn that God has to whack us right between the eyes to get our attention. I have cousins like that. I can't figure out why. Wonderful that it says, he restores my soul. God has a staff for the sheep that wanders off. You know, that big old hook again. Oh, just come on back here a little bit. Come on back here. I got some sisters like that. You know, they're pretty easy to bring back around. And he has oil for the sick sheep. Sometimes we're so broken and we're so hurting. God doesn't whack us and he doesn't pull us back. He just takes us in his arms. Remember, he has them in his bosom and he just rubs that oil on there. When I was growing up, my mom had something called Watkins salve. Anybody ever use Watkins salve? Ooh, I tell you what, as far as I was concerned as a kid, that could cure anything. Just put Watkins salve on it. Took me to the doctor for 5 stitches and I kept yelling, put the salve on, put the salve. They didn't listen. Three kinds of sheep, three kinds of restoration, but only one kind of following. In John 10, 27 to 30, it says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You are a sheep. That's not a bad thing because your shepherd is the right one and it's Jesus. So this first section talks about life. So follow the shepherd in life. In verse 4, it switches and it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, wait a minute, we're talking about all the good stuff in life. Well, death isn't bad either for the follower of God. David smiled at death. Do you smile at death? You should. Now, we know death is certain. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We know that the time is unknown. In the book of Psalms, it says, do you not know, O man, there's but one step between you and death. Any of us could die tomorrow. And we know we go through a valley. It's not a box canyon. And we go through, and it talks about shadows. Shadows can't hurt us. We don't have any reason to fear shadows. In verse 4, David says, I will fear no evil. And then he was talking about God. Now he addresses him directly. He says, you are with me. So even though it's true that you're going to die alone, you're not going to die alone. No, you can't, you know, pick a buddy to die with. However, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be there with you, and he is going to hold you while you die. So we follow the shepherd in life, and here we follow the shepherd in death. In verse 5, it goes right back to life again. You prepare a table before me. Jesus fed 5,000 people, so he prepared tables for others. He prepared breakfast for Peter. And then it goes on, you anoint my head with oil, which is something we don't do today. If you all came in here and I started dumping oil on your head, you wouldn't be happy. But it is something that was done in Bible times. And Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And then he goes on, my cup runs over. Now, in the Bible times, if you were to show up and if somebody's going to be hospitable, they'd say, come in, would you like something to drink? And they would fill up your cup. Now, any of you who know me know that I love coffee. God certainly created coffee probably on the second or third day. And I like it black, I like it strong, and I like a lot of it. If I would come to your house, so if someone comes to my house, the first thing I'm going to say, would you like a cup of coffee? And so in the Bible times, they fill that cup right up to the top. You drink that cup. The next cup, if their time was getting short, might be what my family used to call a Dutch cup. God forgive us, you know, so the Dutch don't get after us here. But that was, they'd give you about a half a cup. And the idea was, well, you're still welcome here, but you know, I got things to do. And then that they'd drink that, and then the next one, they'd hand you the cup, and you'd put a little dribble in the bottom. And that was, okay, it's time to go on down the road here. Now you've had your coffee. What he said, the Lord doesn't give us a Dutch cup, a half a cup, or a no. He fills it right up to the top till it's rolling out. And then he goes on in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And those have been called the sheepdogs. They bring up the rear. Jesus is in the front, they're in the rear. And we follow them in life. And then finally, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is Jehovah. He is my Lord. He's my shepherd. He's your Lord. He's your shepherd. And you are the sheep. We follow the shepherd in life. We follow the shepherd in death. Now we've talked about the who, the Lord Jesus and the sheep, you. We've talked about the what, following him in life, following him in death. Now the why. Why? There's a verse right in there, and it's this one. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Right in the middle of verse 23, we find that. You know, the chief in the shorter Westminster Catechism, it says, the chief in demand is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We follow the shepherd in life and death because that is the only place we find purpose. Do you know, how many people do I know? How many times have I fallen into this trap that I am somebody if I have this job? I am somebody, now I'm talking as a man here, so ladies, you'll have to interpret it. But for me, I might often say, and for years somebody would say, when I was a missionary, you'd say, well, who are you? I'm a missionary and my name is Dan. Well, that was fine until I wasn't a missionary. Oh, then I worked for Coca-Cola, so I became very quickly proud of that. And oh, who are you? Well, I work for Coca-Cola and my name is Dan, until I didn't work for Coca-Cola. So now I got another problem. The thing is, never was I going to find happiness or purpose in life in what I did. Nor was I going to find it in the person I was with, or the hobbies I had, or the amount of money that I had, or the clothes that I, and I can make you laugh by saying, or the amount of hair on my head. It doesn't come from what we have. It comes from who we're related to, who we're in relationship to, and that is the shepherd. And as long as I remember the shepherd and remember that I'm in a sheep, well, then I have a purpose. Then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I clean the toilets in the church or preach the sermon in the church, because I'm doing it for my shepherd. And my shepherd is watching over me all the time. All the time. Who, what, and why? The who is the Lord is our shepherd, and you are the sheep. The what, we follow our shepherd in life and death. And the why, to glorify God in each and every moment. When we remember day by day and with each passing moment that the Lord Jesus is our shepherd and we are his sheep, it does not matter what happens, we follow the shepherd. What? It does not matter what we do. It matters what he did and does for us. Jesus paid it all. We simply follow the shepherd. Why? We will never find our why in what we do or what we have or the friends that we have or our bodies or our brains or in anything else. We'll find our why only in a vibrant daily relationship with Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these beloved sheep. I'm a sheep, Lord. Oh man, do I need you to keep me in the fold. We all wander. We all make dumb decisions, Lord. Remind us of your love. Pick us up and cradle us when we need it. Whack us on the head when we need it. Pull us back in when we need it, Lord, but help us. Help us with your strength, your power, and your guidance. We can follow you all the days of our life and all the days of eternity. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you so much, Dan. Godspeed. That was awesome. Thank you.
Good to see you.
And the friends in Estherville are in for a treat. So thank you.
Hey, good to see you.
There are a number of things in your bulletin for your reference, and I'd like to point out just a couple of them, please. You can read that Frieda Voth moved to a nursing home this past Thursday, and she is adjusting. She had a rough first day, but she is adjusting. And we will keep the congregation posted as to any changes there. Also, I'd like to make mention of the Grief Share group that meets in the Fireside Room Tuesday at 12:30. It's open to all who struggle with the loss of a loved one. A couple of announcements not in the bulletin are that there is a property committee meeting next Sunday directly after worship service. And we are not having communion today, obviously, because our pastor is on his way back here. We're going to have communion when he returns, and that will likely be, hopefully, next Sunday. But again, we'll keep you posted. And also, we really want to keep the family of Becky Berg in our prayers. Becky was moved to the nursing home in Ruthven on Friday. So that's a tough deal. We're going to say some prayers, and when I pause, I would like you to respond with, "Lord, have mercy." Sure.
Remember how these were the things that happen when you read the Bible.
Okay. Do you want to read it, Nancy?
Sure. If you read the Bible, through the Bible each day, and I would encourage you, if you haven't started, to do it. And this is a scientific study that they did about reading the Bible. It says, if you read the Bible for 1 or 2 days a week, there isn't much of a difference in your life. But on day 3, you will have a noticeable change. There are stats that actually happened when people read the Bible 4 times a week or more. And these are the statistics. Loneliness went down 30%. Bitterness went down 43%. Anger went down 32%. Alcoholism went down 42%. And watching pornography went down 60%.
Thank you. And we are reading the Bible. We are going through reading the Bible in a year, I believe it is. And Patty is leading that. So, also, I will say one other thing before we pray, that I worked at a church in Spencer for 13 years, and our pastor 1 year gave us Christmas decorations of little sheep. And hearing Dan's message reminds me of this. And on each sheep, it were the words, "Sheep beget sheep." So we have work to do. So, okay, let's pray. We praise you, Lord. We come to you knowing you see us, you hear us, and you love us. We pray for everyone experiencing difficult life transitions. Please grant us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Your right hand holds us fast. Lord, Have mercy.
Have mercy.
We are grieving the loss of life following the plane and helicopter crashes this past week. We ask you to comfort everyone impacted by them and truth in answers to all of the questions surrounding them.
Lord,
have mercy. We praise the release of hostages this week, and we mourn with those whose loved ones died at the hands of Hamas. Please comfort them in their sorrow.
Lord, have mercy.
We thank you for your protection, Lord. We lift our president and all governmental leaders to you. We pray the Holy Spirit will impart his wisdom in every decision and confirmation in the week ahead.
Lord, have mercy.
We lift Rob Ramsey, Brad Tilber, Frieda Voth, Becky Berg, and their beloved families to you. You know each need, every day and hour on earth. We ask you for the blessing of your healing, and we trust these outcomes completely to you.
Lord, have mercy.
Praise the Son, praise the Spirit.
read our responsive reading together from Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving,
present your requests to God.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding,
will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lowly, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy,
think about such things.
Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me,
put it into practice,
and the God of peace will be with you. Sweet, sweet sound. Thank you. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And will you stand, please, to read the Apostles' Creed together? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And hear this benediction. We are living on this earth, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from Psalm 12, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Serve the Lord.